our Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul in glory turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Should soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drove salvation's plan. Grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Let us turn this morning to the 28th chapter of Job. Job 28, verse 27. Then did he see it and declared it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. I want to speak for a little while this morning on wisdom and divine grace. And we will see presently that both of these are embodied in Christ, and they are so intertwined and interrelated that they are almost inseparable. The text which we have read here is really an answer to a twice-asked question, as we see in verse 12 of this same chapter. But where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Verse 20, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Much of this chapter is devoted to answering that, and about the only thing that we come up with is where wisdom and understanding are not. Then we come to verse 27. Then did he see it? The he here is God. We see his perspective beginning in verse 23 as the answer to all of this. God understands the way thereof. The little word it tells us of the wisdom, the understanding. Then did he see it? There are four things that we find out that God did here. He saw it. Number two, he declared it. Number three, he prepared it. And number four, he searched it out. And those terms do not mean that God was searching around trying to find out whatever existed, because he knows all anyway. But what we mean here is that redemption was not an afterthought with God. we find that God had redemption in place before He created Adam, and certainly before Adam fell. This is the wisdom of which we speak here. This is the wisdom of redemption that God has declared. And as we see here in this verse, He saw it. He declared it. He prepared it, searched it all out, and He knew that everything was in place before Adam was even created. We see the tremendous conclusion of all of this. Verse 28, this is God's message to man. After He has done all of these things concerning wisdom, finding it, searching it out, declaring it, all of this, then you will notice He said unto man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord. There are so many, as we have seen over and over again, that believe that God wants to have people standing absolutely terrified before Him and quivering in their boots. But the fear of the Lord does not mean to be afraid of God. If you are afraid of anyone, you cannot have a positive relationship with them. And that's also true of God. There are people who are so terrified of God, they are afraid to come into His presence. And that is not the attitude we can have if we are going to have all of the blessing that God intends for us. So what is the fear of the Lord? Scripture gives it as being that word meaning reverence, awe, respect. It indicates a total submission, a total surrender unto the Lord, because we do stand in awe of Him. We bow before Him gladly and indeed in an attitude of love. We see the wisdom as noted here. Verse 28 again, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. When we see wisdom in the Scripture, it is just another word for Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us, Christ is made unto us wisdom, even righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It means that the wisdom of God, the wisdom that's in Christ, covers the entire triune being of man. He is made unto us righteousness. That refers to our spirit. The moment we believe, our spirit is made righteous in the sight of God, and none can ever revoke or take that away. Sanctification is a reference to the soul. That's the seat of our affections, and God is working in those day by day by day, changing us, sanctifying us, separating us, in our heart, in our desire unto Him. And then redemption applies to the body. And it tells us that this wisdom is outwardly manifest in this physical human body today. And one day, God will glorify it with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is made unto us wisdom. Read the 8th chapter of Proverbs. And all of those statements that are said of wisdom apply to Christ. Proverbs 8 is the personification of wisdom, and Jesus is the person. We see the wisdom, and indeed we see the divine grace of God there. This is what I want to understand today, is that this wisdom is in Christ. Grace is also in Christ Jesus. We read wonderful verses concerning the grace of God as well as the wisdom of God. Before I go into that, I want to notice a very important order here in these verses, in verse 28. Unto man he said, behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. We must understand Christ as wisdom. First, he must be made wisdom unto me first. And then the latter part of the verse, to depart from evil is understanding. The only way we will ever depart from evil, to experience and know understanding or know Christ by experience, is if we indeed fear the Lord, submit to the Lord, learn that He is indeed our wisdom. It's exactly the same pattern that we find there in the Thessalonians. They turned to God from idols. Men have it all wrong. They think we'll get ourselves fixed up, we'll prepare ourselves, make ourselves presentable, bring everything I can to impress Him, and then be received of God. That's not true. We turn to God first, and then away from the idol, because the power in turning away is in the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and His power. And so Christ is made unto us wisdom. John 1:14 tells it this way. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This same Christ embodies grace as well as wisdom. Once again, if you read Proverbs 8, you will find both grace and wisdom attributed to Christ Himself in that chapter. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, where all of these wonderful attributes that we have seen here in Job are brought forth. We will see the grace of God. We will see the wisdom of God. We see the fear of the Lord. All of these wonderful things. Paul is writing to the Corinthians in this chapter to try and incite them to give an offering, a gift, unto the poor Jewish believers at Jerusalem. The Corinthian church was a very rich church. They could afford it, so to speak, but even though they had promised to give this support and this gift unto these saints, they had not followed through. And so we begin in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That is, we are calling witnesses of the churches of Macedonia. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty and abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. These Macedonian saints knew what the fear of the Lord was. They stood in such awe of Him. They bowed down to Him. They reverenced Him to the degree that they followed through with submitting themselves and doing exactly what God wanted to do. That's the fear of the Lord. Just being before Him and completely prostrate before Him, willing to carry out His every command or desire. Then we find in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty. That indicates the tremendous desire and longing that these people had. They were literally imploring Paul to take this money, that he would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And it is so vitally important we understand here that this offering was not for Paul and his, quote, ministry. This was an offering, this was a gift to be given directly to the needy. And so they were literally imploring Paul to take it. Verse 5 again, this they did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Again, reinforcing the fear of the Lord. They are those who submitted themselves unto the Lord first. And then these things came to pass. They gave their own selves to the Lord God and unto us. They honored Paul's request to them because they had first given themselves to the Lord. When we have the attitude of the fear of the Lord in our hearts, this is the compliance, this is the yieldedness, this is the zeal that we will have in our experience also. And so they gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. The grace he is talking about is the grace of giving. This message is not about giving. This message is about the grace of God and the wisdom of God, and giving is just one of those graces. Notice verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. This grace also indicates that these other terms that are used in verse 7 are graces. All of these are graces. And Paul says, I want you to abound in the grace of giving just like you abound in these other things. And it is these graces that I want to enlarge on for just a few moments here. Peter tells us of the manifold grace of God. You know, sometimes people define the grace of God as unmerited favor to the undeserving. And that's absolutely the truth, but it is so limited. The reason it's limited is because it is manifold grace. We can't even begin to measure or define the inexhaustible grace of God and the things it can do in our lives. Grace is a literal power in us, as we find in other places. And so there are five glorious attributes of divine grace that are listed in these verses. And this is what we want in our lives. We would abound in these things in actual experience. And so Paul says, as you abound in everything, in faith. We know that faith is a gift of divine grace. Ephesians 2:8, we have seen it, heard it, used it so many times. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Every one of us know that we didn't do anything to get that faith. Faith was a gift to us. I didn't coerce anybody for it. I didn't bargain anybody for it. I did not go before God and try to twist his arm for it. He freely gave this grace of faith unto me and to everyone else that would desire it. And so this faith is simply a grace that God has given unto us. Utterance. This is a wonderful one. The word utterance is exactly the same word that is translated is the Greek word logos. Everyone understands and knows that word logos. It means word. It is the same word that is used in John 1. In the beginning was the word, the logos. And the word was with God, and the word was God. We all understand that word is Christ himself. He is the word. The logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the utterance, the logos, that these people have, and it has been given indeed unto us. Number three is knowledge. This corresponds with the understanding that we read about there in Job. To depart from evil is understanding. It really tells us of that practical knowledge, to really know what the Scripture says, know what the Word of God says, and not just for the sake of argument or to tell someone how it is. We're speaking of the Word in my life. What I know of God's Word in my experience. This is the knowledge that we are longing for in our lives today. And this, of course, expresses the wisdom, the very wisdom of Christ, the wisdom of God in our own experience. And then there's diligence. The word diligence simply means speed. Another word we could use is zeal. We're reminded of what Jesus said, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." He was consumed with the zeal of God. When we have Christ, when we have wisdom in our lives, that zeal is going to be translated into my experience also. Jesus said, "I do all things, always those things that please Him." That becomes our desire. That becomes my desire when Christ is made wisdom unto me. When Christ, this glorious grace, is revealed in my experience. And then number five, the love which you have to us. Love is a gift from God. Love is a gift, a grace from God. We have often said, quoted this verse. Jesus said, I believe it's in John 15, "Love one another as I have loved you." That means that I can love someone else only to the degree that I have been loved by Jesus. The more that I am loved by Him in my own life, the more divine love I can show to others. The more that this wisdom, the more that this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in my life, the more I show that glorious love unto other people. Love indeed is this gift, expressing Christ's wisdom and Christ's grace, which is given unto me. We know in reading the two letters that Paul wrote to Corinth that they never did fully measure up to the provision that God gave. This has to be the meaning here in verse 7 where Paul says, "As you abound in all these things." The abounding was in the fact that all of these things had been so bountifully made available to the Corinthian saints. If you read through the book of Corinthians, you will find tremendously deep truth in those letters. The Corinthians were without excuse. They abounded in these things because they were available to them. But sadly, the Corinthians did not follow through and lay hold of it. Paul had to exhort them using the Macedonian saints here that they would incite them to give what they said they would give. And there are many other areas where that the church at Corinth fell far short of laying hold of this bountiful provision that abounded right before them. Christendom as a whole is exactly the same way today. Paul's gospel abounds. It is available. But how many in our world today are searching after these things? How many really are searching for Christ to be revealed in their lives as wisdom and indeed divine grace? We have said over and over and over again, we are not going to change one thing about the atmosphere of this world. We're not going to change the political landscape. We are not going to change the moral landscape. We are not going to change the religious landscape or any other. But let us understand that doesn't mean we're just going to stand and do nothing. We must, at all cost, believe God to make my own life measure up to the fullness of what Paul laid out here. I can experimentally abound in all five of these things, and in the giving, and in every other part of the manifold grace that Peter described. We will close with the reference once again to Job 28:28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. We know now that wisdom is found only in Christ Jesus. He wants to come to full bloom in my experience. Not simply my knowledge about Him of facts and figures. Jesus wants to fully live His life in this mortal body in these last days. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The order is still exactly the same. If we are going to depart from evil, and believe me, there's plenty of it around in our day, if we are going to depart from evil, to be separated unto the Lord, we absolutely must at all cost lay hold of this idea of the fear of the Lord, submit to Him in order that wisdom might be made manifest in my life, in my own personal life. None of us can speak for the other person. I can't make that decision for you, and you certainly can't make it for me. But this is the decision that we are making today. Will I surrender totally and completely unto the Lord? Experience the fear of the Lord in order that Christ might be made unto me wisdom and all of these wonderful graces that we have seen in the message today.